purebred local. And the Colorado transplant, Perspectives, a mile high. Inside the Fan Cave with Max and Tony Comis on Mile High Sports.
Hello, happy Tuesday. It is time for Inside the Fan Cave. Hope you guys are having a great day out there, being safe on the roads. A little chilly. I'm Tony Comis. Alongside me, LJ Maximo. What's up, Max?
How you guys doing? What's up, Denver?
Are we going to wait for them to answer?
I enjoyed the President's Day.
Let's wait for them to answer.
Okay, let's ask. Okay.
In studio today, as we have been known to do for you guys, we just continue to bring a lot of these local talent, Colorado greats, it's at Mines, whether it's through the high school and major leagues, whether it's through
repping.
Going up north to FOCO, right? I believe is that how we have to refer
Fort
to
Collins.
Fort Collins. FOCO. Tonight, joining us in studio, former CSU football great. You guys might know him from a former Saturday Night Live skit. But
Jake's ready.
We want to welcome Kyle Bell in studio. Kyle, thank you for joining us, man. Back at 04 to 08 CSU.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. You know, you said talent. So yeah, you use that in past tense, right? Had talent.
No, talented. Because the talent's continues to evolve, right, sure. Kyle? Into different parts, different aspects of our lives. We're all doing different things now.
Absolutely.
Yes. But the talent is always there. Yeah, we got a great show for you guys tonight. You can join us. Join in anytime, 303-831-1340. That's the talk text line. If you have your iPhone, Android, you can download the Mile High app. Tune in 24/7, 365. Watch us live stream. Go to milehighsports.com. Listen to the podcast all on the Mile High Radio app. Jake Meyer in the production booth.
Jake.
What's up, Jake?
Feeling good, guys. How you guys doing?
For show number 4.
Yes, sir.
We're
still
here, baby.
Many more.
Yes. We got, let me give you a little rundown on this guy we have with us.
Give me the rundown.
It's
give it to
Kyle
me.
Bell, the cowbell.
You're the captain of resume. Can we do
That's
a
it,
captain
baby.
Resume thing? Whenever we have somebody on, Max is on point.
I'm on it.
With the resume. Yes. So let's go ahead and just.
Weld Central graduate, okay? 8,248 yards in his prep career. Still a state record.
My claim to fame right there.
That's it, baby. The pride of Weld Central
in
Kingsburg, Colorado.
You said 8,000 plus 8, yards?
Dude. And he didn't even play
like
in
Florida
most of the
prep football yes. right there, man.
He didn't
nice
even play
work,
in a lot
Kyle.
Of fourth quarters, man. We want to give a shout out to Matt Sloan. You know, he's got Lahana connection.
Coach Sloan,
right?
Absolutely.
You know,
yep.
but that's Kyle's story. Sophomore year at Colorado State, had his best season, 1,288 yards. That's still the most ever by a sophomore running back at Colorado State.
No, I think Capri Bibbs came along.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
okay,
he broke that.
There we
that.
Go.
Yeah.
I get some update here.
Yeah.
Played in the Poinsettia Bowl, the New Mexico Bowl, and now he's doing some financial advising.
Yes, sir.
That's it, buddy.
Are you sure that was sounding okay?
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
Never gets
Remember
old.
That one?
Never gets old.
Now, did they play that at the stadium when you were...
Yeah, they did that on a handful.
And did the students bring that in like Mississippi State style with the cowbell?
It grew in popularity. Kind of you started to see more bells, these little bells, you know, of all sizes and shapes and colors in the stands kind of as that season progressed. So that was
the true the true Ram fans know about the Kyle Bell era. And that's why we put it out on Twitter. I've already got a lot of tweets back from some Ram fans. It just brings back great memories at Hughes.
And
talk
it,
about Hughes and how special that was, Kyle.
Man, it was great timing. I mean, that skit, I don't know, that was around, what, 03, 04?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just such a cool coincidence that my name, Kyle, you know, Kyle Bell sounds so much like cowbell when you say it really fast.
Right.
So, that really kind of sparked. But, man, I just, my time up in Fort Collins was amazing. It to be able to play for Coach Lubick, you know, one of the legends.
Awesome.
From you know, football, from coaching, anywhere you go. And that was just an amazing experience. And to be part of you know, a couple really good teams. You know, yeah, we had a couple years that weren't the best, but you know, my overall, you know, my 5 years there was something I look back very fondly of, and it kind of over time, you know, really kind of come to appreciate more what that meant to me. So it's good in hindsight, always kind of looking back and reconnecting with people. And you know, it's hard to believe it's already been 10 years.
Yeah,
now
that's
since,
what we were saying. The 10 year anniversary.
And, time flies.
I think that's always how it is. I've been fortunate enough to work with some former athletes, both on the college level all the way up to the professional level, NFL. And that's the same. That story seems to be the continuing story throughout there, where it's everything goes by so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to just kind of take a step back, Kyle. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're that, you know, until your senior year, mm-hmm. and you're coming up on that last game, whether it's a bowl game or regular season game, and you're kind of, whoa, where mm-hmm. did that time go?
Right.
What just happened? You close your eyes and 4 or 5 years just flash right through there. All mm-hmm. the yards, all the touchdowns, all the experiences. And you mentioned Coach Lubick, one of the greatest in the game of all time. And I was fortunate to watch a lot of those older CSU games, having attended a couple of you out here with you, with you, Max,
yep.
and some of the family, making the trip over from Florida. You know, I'm curious, and I'm really excited to hear some of those stories. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to share some of those a little bit later on about Coach Lubick, because it's just what a great person to have, developed not only from a football standpoint, Kyle, but from a man, becoming a high school kid to becoming a man and being ready for the professional. The world.
Yeah. Life after football, like you were saying.
Absolutely. And I think, that to me is probably what I take most from my experiences. Coach Lubick, the entire staff, just how much, how much he cared, how much he invested himself in every single player that walked through the athletic department doors, whether you were the starting quarterback, starting running back, walk on. I mean, he had the same intensity, the same mindset of what he tried to instill in you as a young man. And ultimately to see you grow, not just for the success on the football field, but success in life. And so to me, again, awesome. That's, kind of like you alluded to that, as I've kind of grown more over these last 10 years, I still I'm taking a lot of things away from those experiences. So it's
that's
pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Inside the Fan Cave, I am Tony Comas, alongside me, LJ Maximo. And we are in studio here. We've got Kyle Bell, former CSU running back, fullback, whatever you want to call it back now.
Yeah,
but yeah, we're going to have a great show today. We're going to talk a little bit of everything. I want to reflect on on CSU and your time there, but I also want to talk about moving forward in 2019 CSU, coming off a pretty good recruiting class. You got Coach Bobo, been a kind of a little bit of a different offseason for Coach Bobo with the news that came out a month ago with AD Parker coming out and saying, Bobo, declined $100,000 raise because he doesn't feel like he's earned it yet.
Yeah.
And you don't hear that in college sports today at all. So, I want to get your thoughts on that, Kyle and Max, and also want to talk about, how can we not talk about the news of today, which is the $300 million man, Manny Machado. And what does that mean for the Rockies and Nolan Arenado? I've got my opinion on that. I'd love to hear yours. I'd love to hear, more importantly, I want to hear from the fans and kind of what their take is on the developments that came down today. $300 million going to the San Diego Padres, which caught me a little bit off guard.
I'm still in shock. I'm but hey, who's going to pass up $300 million? You know what I'm saying?
I would not have signed for anything less than 302. But, to each his own, I guess.
At 300, you already get the richest contract in sports history.
Exactly. Yeah, and I've got some trivia questions for that, kind of around this whole Manny
Somebody's
Machado
Kyle
thing
attacks.
A little bit later. But hey, right now we've got tons of show left for you guys. Excited about it. Again, Manny Machado, Arenado, Harper. What's the fallout, boys? We'll return back here in just a second. It's Inside the Fan Cave on 1340 AM, 104.7 FM, Mile High Sports Radio.
Inside the Fan Cave with Max and Tony Comas, Tuesdays at 6 on Mile High Sports.
Just got to let it breathe. Let it play. Inside the Fan Cave.
Great song.
This has got to be a good little walk-up song. Was this ever played when you were playing cop?
My jam was always "For Whom the Bell Tolls."
For Whom? Okay.
By Metallica.
I think the feeling we'll be playing that.
Yeah,
tonight.
Absolutely. I can always get down with
this.
Metallica.
Is your hour, Kyle. You're gonna like the what Jake's got in store.
You guys are making me feel right at home. Right?
You are inside the Fan Cave. I'm Tony Comas. Just like the voiceover guy said, alongside me, LJ Maximo, special guest in the studio tonight, former CSU Ram, Kyle Bell. The Ram following will know that name. We've got the I love you sharing the story about the cowbells and you know that going on in the studio or in the stadium. Did you bring your cowbell, Max?
No, I did. Okay. I left it. Sorry.
Yeah, but in the stadium, and I remember it reminds me of the time watching. I think it was the 07 Liberty Bowl in UCF. I'm a UCF grad. They played against Mississippi State, and a buddy of mine is quarterback for that team. Kyle Israel, was it 05? Might have been 05 or 07. I can't remember. But anyway, he said that was the worst experience he's ever been, you know, played in, was all those Mississippi State fans with those cowbells. Terrible. Terrible. But we're taking your questions. The phone lines are open. Talk text lines are 303-831-1340. We're live, local, and mile high right here on Mile High Sports Radio. And before we go to the phones, I want to ask you one quick question about Kyle. And kind of get back to the recruiting process, because we've seen a lot of that change. That dynamic has
evolved. It's really evolved, yeah.
Over the last year, because now you don't have a national signing day. You have two national signing days, and you've got one which we saw back in December, which was the glorified, I think, one through ESPN. You saw it everywhere, CBS Sports, Fox. Everyone had their national signing day coverage. And now we just had it last Wednesday. We had the Wednesday before, where you had the second national signing day. So talk to me, you know, about the process that you went through as far as how you ended up at CSU.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was 15 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Back then we had just the one day, you know, you were unsigned and then one day you were. It's just kind of how it worked. Now there seems like there's three or four different periods, but it was pretty special. It was really, you know, it was really memorable from the standpoint, you know, I wasn't a guy that had 30, 40 Division I football offers. You know, really when it came down to it, it was down to the two, you know, Wyoming and CSU. But it was still a fun process. And I really enjoyed it, because you kind of, you know, as a 17, 18-year-old kid, you kind of like, you know, you feel like that courtship, you know, you're getting this interest from other schools, and you want to be kind of pulled in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying wine and dined, of
course.
Joe
Glenn was at Wyoming.
Get this, you know, you get this kind of, this feeling of this attention and this, you know, that your services are desired. And,
yeah.
But that's what it came down to, you know. See, Wyoming, Coach Glenn, they offered me right after my junior year. Coach Lubick, he gave me a scholarship offer. It would have been right at the start of my senior year. I was up in Fort Collins to watch them play Utah, and we were down on the field before the game, and he came up and said hello to me and my family, and at that point basically said, hey, you have a scholarship offer to attend to Colorado State.
That's awesome.
if you wish to go that route. So, you know, it was down between.
So that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty interesting, because so it was just boom, right there, right on the field.
Didn't tweet anything
we like
out.
You.
You didn't have Twitter.
We want you to be a Ram. Usually now, you know, you hear the stories, and it's in-home visits. That's when the offer's done. Or it's, hey, come, you know, coach's office. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where the offer's done. Let's talk through this. Maybe look at a little bit of film. But boom, it was right there on the field.
Yeah, Coach Glenn in Wyoming, they called my high school football coach right after my junior year, told them. And they were the ones who delivered the news to me. So that was pretty cool. After school in the locker room, you know, getting ready for baseball practice, I think it was. And said, hey, you got a scholarship to go to Wyoming if you want it. So that was kind of my first taste of that.
Cool.
And then, you know, that's kind of how Coach Lubick is, just kind of, you know, under the radar always, and just kind of shoot you straight. Here you go. He said, here, you know, if you want to attend Colorado State on a football scholarship, it's yours. So, and then at that point, I was still kind of waiting to see what CU was going to do. Coach Cabral, who was recruiting Colorado at the time, I wanted to wait and see if they were going to give me a scholarship offer. Kind of got to the point where I actually had to call him and ask him. I said, hey, what's going on? What can I expect anything? They had a couple early commitments at the running back position, so I knew it might be a little bit tougher, but I called them up at the end of the day. They said they were not going to offer me a scholarship if I wanted to maybe go a walk-on route. You know,
was there any talk of changing positions at all? I mean, with the size you had.
Oh, yeah.
Well, precisely what Coach Cabral says is, we don't think you could be physical enough to play in the Big 12.
Wow.
So that you know, and again, I know, you know, kind of, I guess what you could say, the knock on me coming out of high school.
That's
ironic. I did
the
play
Big
at
12
a,
right now is, you don't think physicality.
Exactly.
And you don't think,
yeah.
No, it's
how,
speed.
How fast are you?
Exactly.
And, you know, can you help us score 60 points a game?
Yep.
But you know, again, playing at the two-way level, you know, yes, I guess you could say the competition I was playing against was lacking compared to a guy playing 4 or 5A, even here in Denver. But that, you know, that was a lot of the feedback I got from a lot of schools, was just the level I played at in high school. So, you know, when it came down to it at the end of the day, you know, again, when CSU made that offer, I knew it was going to come down between them and Wyoming. And I had in-home visits from both Coach Glenn and Coach Lubick. Coach Glenn from Wyoming, he made it tough to say no. I mean, you got to, you hand it to that guy. He can sell. He's you know, he's a great recruiter. You know, I guess, you know, you look at it now, it's probably tough to recruit guys to go play in Laramie, but I know he did, you know, a phenomenal job with the time he was there. And he came to the house and we, you know, talked, and before him and Marty English left the house, you know, me and my parents, we all sat down. Coach Glenn, he sat down at the piano that we had in our living room and played Ragtime Cowboy Joe, you know, right there, just right before he left. Hey, let me, you know, play a little tune the for moment, you.
That's his clothes. That was his clothes.
And it, God, it probably one
was
of
it
the,
tough, yeah. the decision?
I knew at that moment I wanted to go into sales at some point in my life.
Yeah, but, right.
No, it was tough. It really was. I mean, it, the, you know, just the effort that they put in, and mm-hmm. I guess the attention to detail through the recruiting process that they gave me, it really did. It made it hard to say no to that.
Well, Kyle, we've got the phone lines open. We do, Jake. I think you said we've got somebody on the lines here.
We got Iron Mike on the line.
All right,
Iron Mike,
what's happening, buddy?
What's going on, boy?
You're on with Kyle Bell.
You got the cowbell in the house.
What's up, Mike?
I looked at him more of a battering ram because I liked the way he ran between the tackles. I didn't like the outside stuff. He just would take the ball and just run people over.
Yes, that is Kyle.
but you were going over some of his stats, and I know that it's kind of weird for a fullback to play quarterback, and I guess he did have one pass attempt.
Yes, and I completed it.
And you did complete it, but
to the other team. Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I was one for one,
yes. So it didn't hit the ground.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, that's so, awesome. But, yeah, I liked the tough style of football, so that's why I was a fan of yours when you were playing for CSU, and unfortunately it didn't work out with you in Jacksonville and all that, but, you know.
Hey, you got a call, though. The Jags, right? Is that who you went with?
Yeah, 2009, the Jags, yep.
That's awesome, man.
Even after tearing your ATL in your junior season, you know, having all that tough stuff to go through as well. I mean, injuries are tough. I'm playing as, you know, I didn't make it to your level, but obviously the game is tough and it wears on your body. And it's good to see that you have the right attitude and you're moving forward, even though you're not, you know, doing what you started to do.
That's it, man.
Yeah, thanks,
Football injuries. I mean, you don't know.
Yeah, Mike's on point. I mean, it's, you know, they're a part of the game. And you know, we were kind of chatting before. I think, you know, I look back now, you know, post-injury, I wasn't the same guy I was, you know, before the injury. You know, it was week one of my junior year. It was a Tuesday, that first game week.
Mentally, when did you realize that? I know you said you look back now, but was there a point when you came back and you were like, okay, things are a little bit different? Or back then, I mean, you're young
I was in the thick of it, I never came to that realization. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe there's that part of your mind that starts to wonder, but you know, you're just so caught up in getting back and just kind of the emotional piece of trying to get back to that level that you really never let yourself kind of get to that point of admitting that. And you certainly, you know, you look at a guy like Adrian Peterson, you know, he tore his ACL and came back the following year with the Vikings and had one of his best seasons. So, you know, there's certainly those circumstances where that is the case. And it doesn't mean that, you know, just because you tear your ACL, you're never going to be back at that level. But for me, and again, after the second one, even at that point, because I after I tore with Jacksonville, my intent was to give it one more shot. And even at that point, I was still, you still have that mindset of, no, I can get back and I can get back to that level. All I need to do is go through the process again.
You're 23, 24 years old at the time. Yeah.
You know, your body bounces back a lot better at that point than it certainly would now. But that's just the mindset, you know, as an athlete and as a competitor, you never really allow yourself to believe that could be the possibility.
Maybe the AF will come calling, the American, what is it?
The Alliance of American Football.
We call them the AF League.
I mean, if they want me to be a water boy.
They just got funding via $250 million payday loan today.
Yeah. Good for them.
No, it's exciting football. Hey, my Orlando Apollos, 2-0.
I started the AF. I call him the AF.
And looking back now, I wish that something like that would have been.
Well, you had the options back then.
Yeah, you know, and I think that'll open up a lot of doors for a lot of guys who were kind of in my situation. You know, these guys that get their undrafted free agents and kind of these fringe roster guys, all they really need to do is just show a little bit that opportunity.
Well, you got to have tape.
Get a chance.
Exactly, and they don't get that opportunity to do it at the NFL level just because there's – you know, a lot more talent when you get there. So these guys who are extremely talented, extremely capable of, if they just get a shot, you look at a guy like Philip Lindsay, right? If he signs with a different team and doesn't get this, the situation that he got here, he's the guy that flew under the radar. Maybe he never gets that shot. Maybe nobody knows who he is. He got that shot and then made the most of it. So if you can look at these things where a guy can have, you know, maybe not an NFL shot, but certainly at these levels, they can really make a name for themselves. Mm-hmm. Of course, the tape is out there and grow the hype, build the brand.
Yeah. Lindsay's a great example. Kyle. I mean, Kurt Warner, another guy who went through the Arena League and coming up. So I'm a fan of the AAF. I'm a fan of the Alliance of American Football because it is. It's a platform for the guys who may not have had, maybe have the injury bug, something like that, and giving them an opportunity to get on tape because that's what the coaches want to see, and they want to see what
just
you
get
can
reps.
Do
yeah,
on
just get
game.
Reps.
Inside the Fan Cave. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with CSU football great Kyle Bell. If you guys want to get on board, please do. Now's the time. Talk text line 303-831-1340. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Call the guys or text Max and Tony 303-831-1340. Get your takes in. The guys may read them on the air.
Welcome back. Happy Tuesday. You're inside the Fan Cave. We are live, local, Mile High. Don't forget, you got that iPhone, Android, download the Mile High Radio app. Tune in 24/7, 365. Watch the live stream. We'll turn around and wave. Listen to the podcast all on the MHR app. In studio, on that live stream, you can catch with us tonight, Kyle Bell, former CSU Ram. Having a good time, kind of reminiscing a little bit, talking about the recruiting process. I thought it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. Sharing some stories about Coach Lubick, and you know, kind of not to stray away from that too. Actually, I'm going to complete curveball here. Super Bowl. I want to go back to Super Bowl because the only touchdown in the Super Bowl was scored. Why, Kyle? Do you remember watching? You remember watching the play where Sony Michel scored the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
and it was Devlin, the fullback, number 46, who just blew it up. And by the way, in the championship game too, in the AFC championship game, two touchdown score. If you saw Devlin come in the game, you see 4-6, you know what's happening.
Right.
And you're inside the two and a half. They're going to he's going to blow it up on that inside gap, power football. And they're going to give that ball to Sony Michel, and he's following.
You bring in the muscle, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I loved seeing Devlin hitting that gap. Now tell me, how much satisfaction did you get when you were in that? Now, did you play some more tailback than fullback?
Well, see, I was
a little bit of both.
No, I was all tailback. I was all running back. Okay. And I tell people I was a running back, and they always just kind of look at me like, "You running back?" You know, because they see a larger white guy, you know, I guess I had some mediocre speed, but no, it was all about, for me, that mentality.
Or like even being the running back in that position and knowing your fullback's just about to blow somebody up.
When you got that in front of you and just kind of that extra confidence and knowing that there might not be that much room there, but whatever room is going to be there, he's going to give you every inch of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it may just be 1 inch, but that's all you got, and you're going to make the most of it.
That's awesome.
What a story, man.
We are, I want to talk a little bit about what, you know, kind of what's going on today as far as the news with Manny Machado and his $300 million contract with San Diego. Now, Max, I know it's on your Twitter timeline. You know, you're very adamant about we should be talking Rockies. This is what we should be talking about. Nolan Arenado. Seeing what happened today, Machado gets that 10-year deal, $300 million. Last time we saw something like that happen was A-Rod, was Albert Pujols. What are your thoughts on this? The guy's 27 years old.
Yep. I think give Nolan 7 years and about $250 million. That puts him at, what, 34, 35? My math right?
You're asking the wrong guy. I was a poli-sci major. That's the reason.
I'm just saying, he's 27. Classes. Just pay him. Give him a $32.5 million a year for another 5 to 7 years, or maybe 6 years with a 7 option, you know, and just keep him a Rocky. And then give him that option when he's 35. You know, it's a win-win for everybody. He's still getting his 32.5. Probably get it guaranteed. I think MLB's guaranteed now. But that's my thoughts. I hope Nolan stays. But Machado signing for $300 million is going to change the whole landscape of baseball.
Well, what does that mean for Nolan Arenado? And I guess that's my question, as well as Bryce Harper. Kyle?
Well, gosh, I can only imagine what Nolan's thought process was today when he first got the news. I mean, can you imagine just how elated he must have been? You know,
good
knowing
for baseball.
What's on the yeah, it's good for baseball. I mean, you know, it's going to be good for him, obviously.
It's good for the Players Association.
Yes. Oh, certainly, yeah. And, yes. and you know, you look at a lot of leagues trying to model themselves. You know, at least the players in other leagues want to model themselves after MLB, right? Because most of that money, I think, just about all of it's guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
You know, you sign the contract, here you go. Hope you don't get hurt in 10 years. Right. But you know, he's either going to end up being the highest paid player in baseball or not playing for the Rockies. I think it's probably
that's
just going to
be
come down to one of those two things.
Yep. And Kyle's background, talking to you off the air, Kyle is a baseball guy. If you guys follow him on Twitter, he's always tweeting about the Rockies. He's always
at Kyle underscore Bell.
Yep, that's it. But it's always about sports and athletics. And I know you got baseball in your blood. Tell that story about your opening day. You went in 93. You're 7 years old.
Yeah.
80,000. You know, you're like, I'm a Rockies fan forever.
So yeah, my real first experience, with being at a professional sporting event, you know, Rockies are brand new. I'm 7 years old. You know, I didn't really understand, really what Major League Baseball is because we didn't have a team. So yeah, going to 80,000 people in the old Mile High Stadium, I'm like, is this the way it always is? You know, this many people. But yeah, that really, you know, that got me hooked. I think that was my real hook into baseball. You know, my father and a couple other the farmers, you know, out east in Keensburg got together, got season tickets. So, you know, I spent, all the way, I think through 2000, you know, going to 15, 20 games a year, just me and my pops and, you know, going baseball. So
you got little Braxton now, your little 4-year old boy.
My son, Braxton, yeah. Couldn't quite get
him. Throwing right.
Couldn't get him to throw left-handed, but he's batting left-handed. So
that's it, buddy.
My wife didn't really understand the importance, you know, the mindset of trying to get your son to throw left-handed and what the implications could be for that. But
that's awesome.
But no, that was just kind of the way I grew up. And obviously growing up, you know, as the Broncos were winning 2 Super Bowls. And, you know, I feel like I bleed everything Colorado sports.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is my home. And, you know, I see all the names here in the studio of these guys. It's just like, I know every name up here on the board. So just kind of watching, you know, watching Colorado sports. But baseball has always kind of had that place in my heart. And that's what I wanted to do in college. You know, that was.
You had an offer from UNC.
Yeah, we
kind
had
of a
there was
football, baseball, maybe.
Yeah, there was the conversations Bears. We had about trying to play both sports, you know, with an emphasis on football. They kind of made that point.
Right.
You know, if it works out, you know, baseball can be kind of there on the side. But that to me was just, that was going to be a pretty tall order. And then at the end of the day, you know, the chance to play Division I college football, you know, again, play on ESPN 7-8 times a year like we did in 2005 and just kind of have that exposure. So that was kind of the tipping point there, being able to play at that level.
That's awesome, man.
Inside the Fan Cave, you're listening to us every Tuesday night. You can catch us here from 6 to 7 o'clock. Get on the talk text lines, 303-831-1340. I'm Tony Comas, LJ Maximo. We've got Kyle Bell, former CSU Ram, in studio with us. Circling back to Nolan Arenado and that story, I'll share a story with you guys. So last, let's see, what is it, February now. So this has been late July, early August. Mm-hmm. I had just jumped on board with my company that I'm with now and had to go to a training out in Irvine, California. And I'm on an evening flight from DIA over to John Wayne Airport out there. I'm getting in line. It was Southwest. And there's a guy wearing probably in his 50s. He's wearing, you know, Rocky's jacket. And we're getting in the lines that, you know, whatever, it's ABC, how Southwest does it. And he's right behind me. And I noticed the Rockies jacket. I'm going, so how'd they do today? I knew they played today. I just didn't know the outcome. So I was like, so how'd they do today? And he was, you know, oh, yeah, I think they came back and won, I think is what it was.
Yeah, it was
like
a good
eighth
day.
Or ninth
I remember,
game.
Yep.
Ninth inning. And I was like, oh, so we had a little small talk, a little chat. And so we go. We're boarding the plane, get on the plane. I'm getting into my seat. And you know how, I don't know if you guys do this, but every time I fly, and if I'm not flying with my wife and kids, so it's obviously just me, I try to get an aisle seat or a window. I obviously don't want to get that middle seat. So I had, in this case, I got a window seat. And then there was another gentleman on the aisle seat. And so we're getting down to the very end. And I've got my spotters on because I'm like, please, no big guy, no big guy, no big guy in the middle. Please, I'm not a small guy. I'm not a huge guy, but I'm not a small guy. And I'm like, come on, I don't want to, you know, you don't want to be all crunched up towards the window the whole flight. And so there's a, and then finally, there's a woman that comes up, sits down. She's probably, I don't know, like I said, maybe looked very young for her age.
Right.
And so we're she sits down and okay, good. So I'm relieved. I'm like, great, I'm going to have some room here. So we get a few minutes into the flight, get up, and she notices me on my phone, and I'm looking at some Rocky stuff and kind of reading about the game and whatnot. And we start talking about the Rockies, and she's just, you know, she's really engaged. And I'm like, so I'm just curious. How do you know so much about the Rockies? You know, I'm just curious for, you don't run into too many ladies that are like all into the Rocks and whatnot. And she's like, oh, well, you know, I usually don't like to say it. I'm like, wait a minute, what, say what? And she's like, well, my son plays for the Rockies. And I'm like, your son plays for the Rockies? I go, stop right there. Don't tell me. I'm going to guess. And I go, okay, first question, what position? And she goes, third base.
Arenado's mother.
And you could just.
Arenado's mother sitting next to you.
Yeah, so Nolan's mom is sitting right next to me on this flight to Irvine. And they're flying back home because they were in town for the weekend series. Nolan, you know, they flew him in.
Get any insight?
When we come back, I will share some of that insight that I got with you, because me being the probing medical device pharmaceutical sales guy was asking a lot of questions.
You're in the presence of greatness. Cards.
Yes.
And yeah, super awesome story. I'll share a little bit more with you when we come back on the other side. It's Inside the Fan Cave. Kyle Bell in studio with us, former CSU Ram, LJ Maxco. I'm Tony Comas. Don't go anywhere.
Max, Tony Comas, two guys with thoughts from the Fan Cave, Mile High Sports Radio.
I think it's safe to say Jingle Bells was not one of the tunes played at Hughes when you were coming out onto the field, right?
We didn't have any games at Fort Collins around Christmas time.
I know, right? Maybe a bowl game before.
A bowl game could have come out. Yeah, exactly.
We kind of could have heard
it. I read today that you did recover an onside kick in that to close out the bowl game. Right?
Yeah, that was.
Which one was that?
The last play of my collegiate career. Yeah, sealed the game, man. Yeah.
What's your biggest highlight of the career? You're talking about Air Force or Utah.
The biggest, those are your one, the biggest moment. Yeah, probably that Utah game, man. We, we were getting our butts kicked the first half, and we weren't moving the ball. And then finally, third quarter, we started to get some momentum. And then fourth quarter, the floodgates just kind of opened, and we were, I think we were down by three, and you know, with about 4 or 5 minutes left, I had a 50-yard run to score the touchdown, and then the goal line stand. That was the loudest I ever heard Hughes in all the games I saw there. That was the loudest I ever heard it. I mean, it was packed. I mean, it was, 34,000, I think. So that probably to me sticks out as probably my favorite moment.
Yep. Rest in peace, Hughes Stadium.
You know? Oh God, I know. I saw
that. Was tough for you to see the demolition going on.
Yeah, there was, I think it was Colorado put pictures up, kind of the progress of the demolition, and it just, I saw it for the first time. It just broke my heart, man.
Yeah.
Kyle Bell's for CSU Ram. We are inside the Fan Cave. You guys want to get on board? Now's your last chance. 303-831-1340. The talk segment. Text line. We are live, local, and mile high. Talking a little bit of, we're reflecting on, you know, Kyle sharing some stories of his time at CSU. But we were talking about the Machado deal today. We're talking about kind of, you know, how does that impact the Rockies and Nolan Arenado and even Bryce Harper and the decisions that they're going to go, where they're going to be. We know Nolan's going to be here for another year. We know he's going to be here. $26 million of the arbitration. And I was sharing a story with you guys about my legendary flight from DIA to Irvine, California, sitting next to Nolan Arenado's mom. And so we got into talking, like it was
cool,
so
lady. She cool,
very cool. Yeah.
When was this?
Very nice. This was this past fall. So it was actually summer fall. So it was July, late July, early August, and was on a flight for training out to California. Ended up, I'll reset it. Ended up getting on the flight, wishing and praying that I was on the aisle. I was on the window seat. Guy was on the aisle seat, hoping that it was not a huge dude that was going to come in here on a Southwest flight. And boom, got that middle flight. No, or middle seat. Nope. And ended up small talk, talking Rockies. Lady sits down.
Her name is Millie.
And ends up being a Mrs. Arenado. And we had some great conversation. Talked a lot about the Rockies. Talked a lot about the pitching staff. Talked a lot about what Nolan wants. And she was I think she was calculated in kind of what she shared and what she didn't share, knowing what was coming up. But she did say Nolan wants to win. Yeah. And the conversation that I had with her really, to me, echoed the conversation that was the statements that Nolan made public the other day, as far as going, you know, about the contract and how
he's been real vocal on Twitter. A lot of the local radio stations, a lot of the local news
stations. Well, he's been candid, is what he's been. He's been transparent.
He's open,
And that's what I appreciated from his mom. Yeah. And was there, did we talk about, you know, options and other teams, and Bryce Harper came up in the conversation, you know, and things like that. And others, you know, I tried to find out, you know, what are some of his favorite places to play when he's outside of Coors Field? What are some of his favorite?
Oh, you were asking his mom, what were his...
From a club standpoint, from a management standpoint, what are some of the ball clubs that, you know, he's really admires? And there were a few that came out from the American League. The ones that I don't even need to say
them. Red?
You know, what I'm going to say. You know, they're the ones that always come up in conversation. Yeah. The East Coast Rockies now were one of those teams. But no, very candid, very good conversation. But at the end of the day, Kyle and Max, what it came down to was Nolan wants to win. And that's what he's echoed recently. And I think he's been consistent and aligned in his statements when he said whenever this has come up over the last year, and even with his agent, is that, hey, he wants to win. And if that's winning in the purple and white of the Rockies and becoming one of the great, if not the greatest, Colorado Rocky
of all time. He's the third best player in the major leagues right now, the third best player, ahead of Machado and Harper.
Then that's what it's going to be. If it means that,
hey, give him $35 million.
If it means that he's going to go somewhere else, because he did have some coyishly statements made out today, Kyle. I don't know if you read these, but it was, you know, hey, it'd be great to stay here. I love it. I can become the best Rocky of all time, or I can be the best Rocky of all time. You know, go day in and day out for the fans. But it's also, I'm curious what's out there. You know, playing with other in another organization.
Well, he's, you know, I think the way I look at it is the money talks. We all know these guys. Yeah. You know, it's Manny Machado, $300 million. You know,
crazy.
If do you think Nolan Arenado would take $250 million to go play for the Yankees, or if the Rockies offered him $300 million, what do you think he's taking? I mean, in all honesty.
Oh yeah.
You know, think about something like that. He's taking the 300.
So where he'll stay home.
Yeah, and I know to us, the three of us sitting in this room, $1 million is a heck of a lot of money to these guys. You know, that's just kind of the icing on the cake. You know, every extra little million above what Machado's getting, you know, that would just kind of be icing on the cake. You know, he'd have the richest contract for what, maybe a month or two until someone else came along, until Bryce Harper gets signed for $350 million or whatever the case may be.
Well, that's the thing. And it was, and obviously, I think there was probably a huge high five, virtual high five between Bryce Harper and Nolan Arenado this morning, because Manny was the first guy
He took the bait and for $300 million.
Well, he set the bar. he set the bar and said,
"This is the number.
This is what it's going to be, guys. Yep. I just set that for you guys. I'll take one for the team."
But he's only 24, right?
No, he's 27 years old.
Wait, Machado.
Nolan's 28. Yeah.
Oh, Machado. Really?
They're Irish twins. They're about 15 months apart.
And, so he got that money. He's going to be 37 years old, getting $30 million. And look at Albert Pujols
and
for the Angels.
And he took guaranteed money because the White Sox came to the table and did put up about $250 million, but with he could make another $50 to $100 million.
Like an option?
Per Ken Rosenthal in incentives and contract incentives and things like that, it would have pushed him to $350 million, but he wanted the $300 million guaranteed, and that's what it's about nowadays, is what can I get guaranteed and know that you're setting not only your family and the generations before you, but the generations after you. Yeah. You know, that's what it's about. And like you said, Machado, right now, highest paid player in the history of sports, as far as sports history. Yeah. Quick question for you guys. Machado, do you think he was a free agent longer than he was a Dodger? Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
113 days as a free agent. He was a Dodger for 102 days.
There you go.
So, yes.
Ooh.
Here's another one for you. The Padres signed. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Here. Machado was an all-star starter in 2018. Who was the last Padres position player to start a Midsummer Classic?
Oh, my gosh.
The last Padres.
Will Myers. No?
Darn. Good guess.
He's a good player.
Adrian Gonzalez.
He did get the hometown start at DH, though, Will Myers, in 2016.
So that was a good guess.
Start as a position player.
Oh.
Adrian Gonzalez.
Nope.
No.
Tony Gwynn. 1998,
oh my goodness.
The great late great Tony Gwynn.
But the Padres have some young kids coming up.
By adding Machado, $300 million after signing Eric Hosmer last winter for $144,
oh, that's right.
The Padres have spent more on two players than they did their previous 25 off seasons combined.
Wow.
Just think about that, what we just said.
They better show
up. And that's why the Padres are the Padres.
And you know what? We haven't talked one word about Flacco this whole hour.
It was a non-Flacco show.
This was,
believe me, the people who are listening to Mile High,
all they've heard is Flacco all week.
Flacco.
And we got to give a tribute to Herb Brown, baby. I went Saturday to the celebration of his life at First Bank, and whoever put that on, Dave Platty at CSU, I heard his name. First class, Dave Logan. I mean, everyone was there, and it was an honor to be there to honor Irv Brown. And you got that little Irv Brown story.
Yeah, I was at, I think it was my sophomore year at CSU. Right. Had a chance to be interviewed by Irv and Joe. So that was, you know, always, it just kind of always remembered that. I always remembered that.
He knew where you went to high school.
Yeah.
Man. Oh,
yeah.
He knew everything about it.
The memory, you know, vault that guy must have had, I mean, just of names and of faces and of people.
Loved Colorado kids,
I can't,
man,
even imagine, you know, just kind of what went through his brain every day.
Oh, man. But hey, can you believe it? No Flacco talk.
Well, it was a No Flacco show. Hashtag No Flacco.
No Flacco.
We did the Rams. We did the Rockies.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to give a special thanks to Kyle Bell. Thank you for joining us in your former
Shout
CSU
out
Ram.
To Kyle,
thanks
baby.
For having me, guys. Really
good
enjoyed
times
it.
As always.
Edward Jones Financial, right?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing now? That's
that is. Awesome. Yes. I spent about 7 years in the car business with Ed Bozar at Chevrolet. Was a general manager there for a little while, and now I have moved on to financial advising. Yes, sir.
Awesome. Man.
Tweet at him if you want to get rich at Kyle _Bell.
He'll get you a $300 million deal.
$300 million right there. Yeah. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at K5280 hashtag Live Local Mile High. Tune in every Tuesday 6 to 7 o'clock. I'm Tony Comas, LJ Maximo, Kyle Bell, together with you. We're inside the Fan Cave on Mile High Sports Radio, AM 1340, 104.7 FM.
See ya.